Today, higher for longer interest rate environment is squeezing more borrowers. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, elevated inflation means that central banks may have to keep policy rates higher in a way that stretches the capacity of borrowers to repay debt, said the IMF in its latest Global Financial Stability Report. And the Bank of England warned in their latest financial policy summary that simply extending the term of mortgage loans is actually more about protecting banks than borrowers as risks build. The IMF says that the world central banks have unleashed the steepest series of interest rate increases in decades during their two-year drive to tame inflation, and they may not be done yet. Policymakers have raised rates by more than 400 basis points on average in advanced economies since late 2021, and around 650 basis points in emerging market economies. Most economies, they say, are absorbing this aggressive policy tightening, showing resilience over the past year, but core inflation remains elevated in several of them, especially in the United States and parts of Europe. Major central banks, therefore, may need to keep interest rates higher for longer. And in this environment, risks to the world economy remain skewed to the downside, as detailed in the latest Global Financial Stability Report. In fact, they've updated its growth forecasts, with the world expected to grow at 3% this year and 2.9% in 2024. And the IMF tips that Australia's real GDP growth will slow even faster, from just 1.8% this year to 1.2% in 2024. And apart from the COVID pandemic, that will be the slowest two-year rate of aggregate growth since the early 1990s recession. And it's interesting to note that the May federal budget projected that Australia's population will grow by 1.9% in 2023 and 1.6% in 2024. But the June quarter national accounts from the Australian Bureau of Statistics estimated that Australia's population grew by 2.4% in 2022-23, completely obliterating the federal budget's forecast. So the result for Australia is a torrid two-year period of GDP per capita recession. And that will put ever more pressure on households, something which is already very evident as we discussed in yesterday's live stream. Now, the IMF said that though this latest assessment of vulnerabilities is similar to that noted in April, the acute stress that they saw in the banking system back then subsided somewhat. However, they now see indications of trouble elsewhere. One such warning sign, they say, is the diminished ability of individuals and business borrowers to service their debts, also known as credit risk. Making debt more expensive is an intended consequence of tightening monetary policy to contain inflation. The risk is, though, that borrowers might already be in a precarious financial position, and the higher interest rates could amplify those fragilities, leading to a surge in defaults. And in the corporate world, many businesses suffered closures during the pandemic and others emerged with healthy cash buffers, thanks in part to fiscal support in many countries. And firms were also able to protect their profit margins, even though inflation had picked up. In a higher for longer world, though, many firms are now drawing down cash buffers as earnings moderate and as debt servicing costs rise. And indeed, the report shows increasing shares of small and mid-sized firms in both advanced and emerging market economies with barely enough cash to pay their interest expenses. And defaults are on the rise in the leveraged loan market, where financially weaker firms borrow. These troubles are likely going to worsen in the coming year as more than $5.5 trillion of corporate debt comes due. And households too, they say, have been drawing down on their buffers. The excess savings in advanced economies have steadily declined from peak levels early last year, which were equal to 4-8% of gross domestic product. And there are also signs of rising delinquencies in credit cards and auto loans. headwinds also confront real estate, with home mortgages, typically the largest category of household borrowing, now carrying much higher interest rates than just a year ago, eroding savings and weighing on housing markets. Countries with predominantly floating rate mortgages have generally experienced larger home price declines as higher interest rates translate more quickly into mortgage payment difficulties. And of course, Australia is highly exposed as rates have moved more on a weighted basis than in many other countries. Now in the UK, the Bank of England has said that UK household finances remain under pressure and the full impact of high interest rates have not yet passed through to all borrowers. The share of households with high debt servicing ratios, after accounting for the higher cost of living, is rising and is expected to continue to do so through 2024. But they continue to judge that it is likely to stay below the historic peak reached back in 2007. In part, they say, this reflects the mortgage market measures introduced in 2014, including its loan-to-income flow limit on lending to borrowers with high loan-to-income ratios at or below 4.5, and the FCA's responsible lending requirements that have limited the build-up of household indebtedness. And now, of course, there was no such protections in Australian households. Owner-occupier arrears, they say, are low in historical terms in the UK, though there has been a modest increase. Some borrowers facing higher interest rates have taken out mortgages with longer terms, and a small number have moved to interest only. There has, for example, been a notable increase in the proportion of borrowers taking out mortgages with 35 years or above terms. Although this remains a small share of total mortgages, such lending will be bound by FCA responsible lending rules requiring lenders to take account of future changes to income and expenditure, such as the borrower retiring, where that is expected to happen during the mortgage term. And they say that UK banks remain in a strong position to support borrowers should they face difficulties servicing their debts. And they go on to talk about investors. They call them buy-to-let mortgagers, and they say they're experiencing increases in mortgage interest payments in addition to some structural factors likely to put pressure on incomes from residential property. This could lead some landlords to sell, putting downward pressure on house prices, although net sales by landlords have not been significant so far. Buy-to-let landlords may seek to continue to pass on higher cost to renters, adding to other cost of living pressures. And there is evidence, they say, that some households are increasing the use of consumer credit in response to cost of living pressures and higher debt servicing costs, which could lead to greater debt vulnerability for households in the near term. A significant rise in unemployment, they say, would increase the likelihood of UK household debt vulnerabilities crystallising. UK unemployment remains low by historical standards at 4.3%, although employment indicators are generally softening with subdued economic activity. Now back to the IMF, who said that commercial real estate faces similar strains as higher interest rates have resulted in funding sources drying up, transactions slowing, and defaults rising. And the Bank of England said that the UK CRE sector continues to face a number of challenges, both from higher interest rates and structural factors. CRE prices in the UK have reacted more quickly to market developments, having fallen further than in some other jurisdictions such as the US and Europe. And UK banks have reduced their exposures to UK CRE over recent years, and arrears on their exposures are still low by historical standards. And the IMF mentioned that large corporates were in a stronger position going into this period of rising interest rates relative to previous tightening cycles. The bulk of outstanding fixed-rate UK corporate debt matures in or after 2025. As a result, refinancing needed for large firms are likely to be limited in the near term, and firms have some time to adjust their business plans, which should help to limit risks associated with refinancing higher debt servicing costs. And higher interest rates are also challenging governments. Frontier and low-income countries are having a harder time borrowing in hard currencies like the euro, the yen, the US dollar, and the UK pound, as foreign investors demand greater returns. And this year, hard currency bond issuances have occurred at much higher coupon or interest rates, but sovereign debt concerns do not only apply to low-income countries, as the recent surge in longer-term interest rates in advanced economies have demonstrated. By contrast, major emerging economies do largely not face this predicament, given better economic fundamentals and financial health, although the flow of foreign portfolio investments into those countries have slowed. Material amounts of foreign investment have left China in recent months, as mounting troubles in its property sector have dented investor confidence. And then the IMF makes this point, which I think is very important. Most investors appear to have shrugged off mounting evidence that borrowers are having repayment troubles. Along with generally healthy stock and bond markets, financial conditions have eased as investors appear to expect a global soft landing, in which higher central bank interest rates contain inflation without causing a recession. But the optimism creates two problems. Relatively easy financial conditions could continue to fuel inflation, and rates can tighten sharply if adverse shocks occur, such as an escalation of the war in Ukraine or an intensification of stress in the Chinese property market, and of course we would also add the current ructions in the Middle East. A sharp tightening in financial conditions would strain weaker banks already facing high credit risks, and surveys from several countries already point to a slowdown in bank lending, with rising borrower risk cited as a key reason. Many banks will lose significant amounts of equity capital in a scenario where high inflation and high interest rates prevail and the global economy tips into recession. And they're going to explore that in a forthcoming publication. Investors and depositors will scrutinize the prospects of banks if their stock market capitalization falls below the value of balance sheets, causing funding problems for the weak banks. Outside of banking system fragilities, there are also other fragilities present for non-banking financial intermediaries such as hedge funds and pension funds that lend in private markets. And finally, the IMF concluded, reassuringly, policymakers can prevent bad outcomes. Central banks must remain determined in bringing inflation back to target. Sustained economic growth and financial stability is not possible without price stability. If financial stability is threatened, policymakers should promptly use liquidity support facilities and other tools to mitigate acute stress and restore market confidence. And finally, given the importance of healthy banks to the global economy, there is a need for further enhanced financial sector regulation and supervision. And this is the point. So there are clearly cracks now emerging amongst those with heavy borrowing commitments thanks to higher interest rates. And whether you look at households or businesses or countries, this is going to get worse ahead. And yet, of course, there is a paranoia now around maintaining financial stability. So these two pressures are pulling against the need to hold rates higher for longer to tackle inflation. So the question to my mind is this: will individuals and businesses buckle under the pressure before central banks turn turtle and cut rates? Or will central banks continue to inflict more pain to try and squash inflation? But whichever way you look at it, to my mind, the front row problem is now commercial real estate. But the next cab off the rank is the small business community, again, as I discussed yesterday, and then households with large mortgages. And in a separate discussion, which I will publish later, I'm going to dissect further this question of what happens when households extend their mortgages over a longer term. But in a nutshell, the banks are winners and households are losers. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.